Welcome, welcome to What'd You Think, the after the movie show where we're driving home after the movie and talking about anything and everything that we saw. And of course, as always, it is full of spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, put this on pause, run, see the movie, come back, unpause this, and see how your thoughts compare to What'd You Think, the show. As always, I have with me the lovely Bobby Blakey, who knows all and sees all.
And what I don't know, I make up.
That's right. And I have my awesome brother-in-law, Clay Houston, who went to go see the movie with us. And he is going to share his thoughts. He has some background in theater and performance and probably has some pretty good insights that on angles that we might not have ourselves. So, Clay, it's awesome to have you.
Oh, well, let's not hold our breath. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, as always, I want to start out with how the movie itself compared to what you were expecting. Usually, most of the time, this just means trailers, but it also, in this case, I'm sure 99% of the population knows that the Planet of the Apes movies have been made a long time ago, and how the new movie, the new spin on it, is comparing to the classics, and whether or not they're doing the classics justice. And I'm going to start with Company. Clay, how do you think it compared to both the previous movies and to the trailers that you saw, what you were expecting to see?
Damn them. Damn them all to hell. No, I'm just kidding. It's funny because I didn't really see any trailers. I didn't really see the trailers. I saw one of I guess one of the first ones, one of the short ones. So I couldn't really get a bead on what I was going to see. I mean, in a way, it kind of was exactly what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting much. I think it pretty well compared to the trailers and to my expectation. I would say it's probably even a better movie than the first one.
Oh, wow.
As far as
Wow.
I'm, yeah, as far as how entertained I felt at the end of it. And
Oh,
of course, I'll
cool.
expand on that as well.
Yeah. Well, Bobby, what did you think?
I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I've been a huge fan of this series for as long as I can remember, since the movie started before I was alive. But I was nervous with this one because like a lot of people, I was surprised how good Rise of the Planet of the Apes ended up being, way more than it ever deserved to be in comparison. So when I saw the trailers for this one, I was, obviously was excited because I like Planet of the Apes, but I was also, kind of intrigued by the direction it looked like they were going. And I mean, to me, it ended up, not only was I satisfied with what I saw in comparison to the trailer with the movie, that I think it might have become one of my favorites in all the ones it's been made to date.
Yeah, I agree. I tried to avoid most of the trailers actually, because I had heard either like the chatter on Facebook or whatever that they showed quite a bit on the trailers. So I tried to avoid the trailers, but of course I've seen the movies already. I really, really liked the first movie of the redo. And I was looking forward to it, and especially with what you can do with special effects now. And on that note, I was blown away. I really didn't expect to see the kind of level of quality in all the simian activity, and in fact, it kind of got to the point where there were just a couple of moments where the CGI doesn't quite work, and it kind of and I'm almost sit there waiting, going, wait, what was wrong with that? It's like, oh yeah, it's not real. I forgot that. But overall, I really loved the story, and I really appreciated the fact that you got a chance to get to know the characters early in the movie. They spent a lot of time on character exposition before they got to the SmackDown monkey fights.
Well, I like that I love that they spent so much time with the apes.
Yes.
And less time, you know, with Hollywood, you know, they always feel like anytime they make a monster movie or a science fiction movie or whatever, you know, they always feel like, okay, that's cool and all, the creatures are awesome, but we have to have these humans have to be front and center.
Right.
And here they let the apes be the stars of the film, and the humans are just kind of in their way, you know, which.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, how the original is. It's all apes and Charlton Heston, you know. And while he was the star of the original movie, it was more apes than Charlton Heston. So for the first time in a long time, it felt like an actual Planet of the Apes movie. And it was cool to get to spend time to see how they're living and how they're, you know, the slow growth. I love that they didn't just suddenly jump them right. They're all talking. They're all visiting. You know, they're all normal.
Right.
We're still seeing evolution into what they're going to become.
Exactly. In fact, in the very first scene of the movie, kind of snaps you out of your thinking you know exactly what's going to happen. At least it did for me. Because in the first scene of the movie, they're going through the forest. They're communicating with the sign language. And, you know, they're working as an organized group. And it looks like, for all intents and purposes, they're going to war. They're warring and attacking another group of chimpanzees or whoever. And then you realize all of a sudden they're on a hunt. And they're bringing the hunt back to the homestead, and they have this whole civilization there with a school for the kids, and it's just it almost slaps your hand going, shame on you. You know, you thought they were just fighting, and here they're getting food for the tribe.
Well, and that was one thing I wish they had touched on some or said something, unless I missed it. But I was a little baffled why the apes, which are normally not meat eaters, to my knowledge, were hunting a deer, unless they're using, like, the way I broke it down for myself was that they're probably using the bones and the skin for their little homes and all this kind of stuff, so they're using them more than just for food.
I got that they're carnivores.
Well, chimps and bonobos have been known to hunt animals.
Really?
I don't know so much about gorillas and orangutans, stuff like that. But yeah, definitely chimps and bonobos and those type of apes do hunt. They don't hunt, you know, a lot, but they have been known to hunt down and eat meat. So.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, it wasn't one that bothered me enough that, like, I came out of the movie and was like, come on. You know, I just thought about that at first. And then, I mean, my lapse was like I literally thought about it and I stopped thinking about it all at the same time and just kept moving on with my life.
Well, I think that was that opening scene was kind of a good tone setter for me personally. You know, that like Catherine said, that switch where we I actually thought we were opening up with an attack on a human population.
Oh yeah.
I thought we were coming in the middle of the war. And, you know, and we're maybe going to back up, you know, and get a backstory mm-hmm. to this opening scene. That's immediately what I was thinking.
Right.
And then when they illustrated it, it was a hunt, and it was, you know, just kind of establishing their civilization. I was like, okay, I can buy into this. And that actually kind of set a good, that whole opening thing kind of set a good tone for me personally that I could sit back and say, okay, what else you got?
Well, I thought the fact that Caesar being their leader, it was really interesting when you thought about it, because a lot of the apes tried a lot, especially when they were around him, to to walk upright, stand upright like he did, and emulate him as much as possible. It was obvious that some of them could talk, and probably some of them couldn't, I suspect, or just didn't prefer to. But they all seemed to know the sign language to communicate with each other with, and the sign language was preferable. And Cole made a really good point when we were talking about this on the ride home. It says the sign language would probably be preferable to chimpanzees because they use so much facial expression and body language to communicate that sign language would be a better way or probably a more comfortable way of communicating than talking.
Oh, well, certainly, because you're catching them kind of in the midst of this rapid evolution,
right.
Both, you know, mentally and physically, not just physically in their brains, but probably physically in their body as well. I mean, you notice that Caesar is obviously a bit more evolved than the rest of them because he is very upright. You notice that in comparison to the body language of most of the other apes. But I would imagine also, since apes don't have the same, you know, the vocal cords that we do,
yeah.
But maybe those are I kind of took it as those are in the middle of physically, genetically evolving.
Oh, yeah.
In a rapid way that they're still trying to master that vocal language. They've been able to master, I mean, obviously they're intelligent enough
right.
to have mastered ASL. I mean, I'm not even evolved enough to master ASL. So these are some smart apes.
That's a good point because...
But they just they may physically still be catching up to being able to use their voices.
You also have the fact that, you know, Caesar's character was born with the traits, you know, and these other ones were giving the serum, whatever you want to call it, the smoke cloud, you know, given to them later. So obviously they're going to take longer to evolve, but then you also are going to have the new ones that are going to be born that are mixed, that are going to end up being like Caesar, that it would eventually get to that point where they can talk more regularly. But I love that even though Caesar is more evolved than they are, even he didn't talk like us.
Right.
It still was like that struggle to get out words, and it sounded like somebody who was, you know, like some of these tribes or something that are speaking English for the first time, and they're speaking like broken English, you know, and having to speak individual words and try to piece them together. So it was a cool twist with them going, instead of just flat out saying, okay, we all know Caesar's intelligent, we all know he can talk, now he just stands up and he's like, hello, how are you doing? You know, they still made it seem like this is still an animal
right.
who can happen to talk and has evolved past what their species normally is.
Well, even with human children, too, if they don't learn to speak well at a young age, they have a hard time the older they get. Because
most of them
skills don't develop.
Even the ones that are taught still don't talk right. I'm just saying.
I'm not trying to say language too.
That's right. When I love that as part of the storyline, you know, to kind of coincide with these language barrier issues that they're dealing with, they made a point to get us a quick glimpse of Maurice teaching class.
Yes.
Right.
You know, of teaching
right.
how to read and how to do the sign languages and you know, and that way you get that idea like, okay, they're still learning, they're still evolving while still now building an education system for them.
Mm-hmm. And I also liked the fact that ultimately, and of course this is much, much later in the movie, when Caesar comes back, you know, he's showing that he's still alive, that he doesn't try to stand there and tell all the apes what happened. It's like, hey, everybody, I'm back, and, you know, this asshole tried to shoot me. and tried to kill me. And because he realizes that really didn't mean jack. He's going to have to kick this guy's ass, or he's not going to get back on top. And that's it, period, in the monkey world.
Well, yeah, they kept the animal aspect of the alpha male mentality, you know, instead of them suddenly being able to have these reasonable conversations
right.
about what occurred. You know, well, he did. Well, let's all talk about this. Which would have been a really funny scene to watch, them all have a conversation about, well, what were your motivations for...
As a primate.
Exactly.
In fact, I think the script even touched on it when the people at the compound, Oldman was talking them down from just going crazy. You know, his buddy said, you know, if it gets too bad, you're not going to be able to talk them out of it. They're gonna get primitive too.
Well, you know, and I never really thought about it much until I started watching this one that, you know, because we're so jaded to the Planet of the Apes ideal, mm-hmm. we know that the apes are going to talk. We know where it's kind of going and all these kind of things. So we don't think about it as much necessarily.
Right.
But then it dawned on me when they're showing before we got to the point in the movie where they start talking about the humans and the humans are like shocked that they can speak.
Uh-huh.
I forgot that in the previous movie he only speaks like, what, twice, three times in the movie, and they're all to James Franco or to Malfoy.
Right.
And nobody else hears them talk, so they don't know.
Yeah.
Which gave me another really great moment for myself watching the film. It's like, oh yeah, they don't know yet, so this is still shocking. You know, they know the apes are out there, but they don't know they've evolved this much. They just thought it was an uprising of crazy beasts, you know?
They're like, they didn't have that WTF moment where, like, oh my god. Oh, okay, and I'm gonna switch over to favorite parts. And because I've been dying to talk about this, it's when I can't remember the character's name. Old Scarface.
Koba.
Yeah.
Koba. Yeah.
Is caught in the armory, and he plays the fool to the two guys to keep from getting shot, basically, but. At first, you're used to him being such a badass. You're wondering, you're like, where is this coming from? And then you think, oh my gosh, he's playing the happy monkey, you know, the circus monkey.
Yeah, the addition of him clapping with the goofy monkey face was like perfect for that sequence.
And Cole made a really good point talking on the way home, is I was like, well, you know, he was a lab monkey. Why would he think to act like that? And he says, well, they all live in a social setting, and they probably, you know, pick up tricks and experiences from each other. It's like, you know, there's probably a lot of apes in the group that used to be performers or in the circus and stuff like that, and they used to talk about the old times of what they were taught to do and stuff, and he would have picked that up from friends and relations and not necessarily have to have it as a life experience himself. And that, I just thought that was brilliant.
Well, if you didn't, probably didn't notice, they had one sequence when they first walk in up in the top, they have a theater program. Where they had a whole like theater. I'm just keep going. I'm just making.
Oh, you got me. Clay, what'd you think?
Sorry, I thought I lost you there for a second.
Oh, that's okay.
I thought that was also my favorite part both times. And what it showed me is one, the intelligence of Koba in particular, and of course all the apes in general, is, you know, not only did he come up with the strategy to save his, not only to save his skin, but also to gain trust. And he knew that he knew what, he was able to read what, or anticipate what the human's reaction would be by picking that strategy of playing the happy monkey. He knew that that would garner a reaction from the humans. And so it made it just really a powerful moment in the film, and really showed how intelligent and really kind of how insidious.
Yeah, it was insidious. Was.
Yeah, it was like he knew exactly what he was doing. I mean, and also to come up with that strategy on the fly is the first time.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really good little piece of characterization there.
I just want to know where everybody else was. Why were these the only two guys that were ever at the armory? And they're always drunk, so how are they even getting anything done?
Well, they might not actually have official practice. Those are probably outside of practice hours. They probably just enjoy shooting the guns.
Just destroying a perfectly good vehicle.
That's right, because we've got lots of vehicles.
Yeah, and boy, they sure were using a lot of ammo precious ammo.
Yeah.
Those guys.
I was like, you know where you're at right now, right? You know there's a tree in the middle of the mall, right? We need to, you might want to save your bullets there, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to shelve that one for later in the show.
Well, what other highlights could you guys think of?
I actually have two. One of them's more of a mild one, and it's actually within the same sequence. The way they made them hold and shoot the guns, I thought was awesome.
Okay.
Because they didn't suddenly, they held them like, you know, like an ape would pick something up and use it. Where, you know, anytime you've seen any videos or circus and you see an ape do something, they always kind of hold it higher than their head. And they don't really hold it level like we do, you know, like we would shoot a gun. So if you're watching them in the film, especially with that first time when he's holding that gun up, it's kind of up in the air and kind of cockeyed, you know, and it's, even when they're riding the horses, they're kind of, they never start holding them like people.
Oh, and
except for one. Again, if you notice Caesar,
yeah,
he grabs the shotgun. He's the only one.
He holds it like he knows what's going on.
Differently, yeah. Yeah, and it's just another little, that was another one of those little details that I noticed that really, you know, kind of put him apart from the others, or, you know, just kind of showed, you know, this is where they are now, but Caesar's where they're going.
Right.
As a species or as a group.
Well, and my biggest thing that I loved, I think, and I think it just because it sucked me in more, is I love the whole, the family dynamic aspect that we're getting to watch with Caesar and his son.
Oh, yeah.
Not just because of it being a good story, but you got to see kind of this evolution of, like, you see it in movies with, you know, normal people all the time, where the son feels like his dad doesn't think he's a man, and he goes out on his own, he screws up, and his dad still accepts him, and whatever the case is. But there was something about, you know, because they use so much facial emotion, you know, in him to see it, but the addition of him having to see kind of the other apes enslaved, and what is clearly that his dad was doing something so much better that he didn't see, and then was having to grow with him, and then to still get the exception at the end, which is such a human quality, but we know how, you know, animals always don't seem to hold as much grudge and always seem to get over each other. They kind of blended all those things together and made, I thought, was like kind of a really heartwarming story, if you will, that
yeah.
it was sad and, you know, tragic and stuff, but it was amazing that they could be pulled off with these types of characters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was fantastic, and of course, when his little brother is born and you know, it's like, oh, okay, now you got a new kid, you don't need me anymore, and it's like, oh, come on, don't be that way.
Right. Since you brought up the little baby, I'm gonna have to say my one disappointment, and this wasn't something they did wrong,
uh-huh.
It was just something I wanted to happen.
Yeah.
Is as they show his son, I start getting excited. His first son, you know, the at the beginning.
Yeah.
then they started calling what Bright Eyes or Blue Eyes, whichever one they referred to him as. I don't remember.
Blue Eyes, yeah.
Okay, because Charlton Heston is Bright Eyes in the original. Okay.
Right.
So they're referring to him Blue Eyes. I'm like, ah, damn it. Well, then they show the baby. I'm like, come on, at some point you have to say this baby's name is Cornelius. Come on, man. It's all I need, and this movie will have knocked it out of the park. And then when it ended and it never happened, I'm like, screw you apes, all of you. I wanted one thing.
There's no thing you could be saving that nugget for later.
That's, it was probably, and I waited through the entire credit. Just in case. I was like, I told my officer, we're not leaving. There's going to be a Cornelius scene, I'm telling you. And we got nothing. I think at the end of the credits, the thing that came on the screen, it says, so thousands of jobs were made by the production of this film. I said, I don't care about your jobs. I want Cornelius. Get a paper route. This is not my problem.
And how is that news? A lot of people got some good work during this. Well, that's the first time that ever happened on a movie.
Well, if you look now, that apparently is being put on the end of almost all the movies now. That I think they're trying to show how many jobs are made by the film industry for whatever reason. And I'm sure it has to do with the incentive programs for all the different states and countries and.
Yeah. How many code monkeys got by the efficiency and carpal tunnel from
that's right.
rendering flesh tones.
My wife was wondering, like, okay, when are we going to see no animals were actually harmed in the making of this film? And I'm like, they don't need to put that on this film. It was all CGI.
No animals were actually used in this film.
All animals were hurt in this film.
That does bring up one point, and this was a prediction that I made back in the late 90s.
Okay.
And I'm still holding to it, that I predict eventually, and I don't know in what form it's going to take, but I predict some sort of lawsuit brought probably by the Screen Actors Guild involving a completely computer generated actor.
Hmm.
Well, I'm still aggravated that I think it needs to get to the point to where they're recognized way more. Mm-hmm. You know, Andy Serkis keeps getting, you know, while I don't think he necessarily should have been nominated for Golem, he did an awesome job, you know, or King Kong for that matter, but his stuff in both these ape movies deserved to be nominated for something.
Yeah.
You know, and it was the same way when Scarlett Johansson did that movie Her, and it was just her voice. It's like, you may or may not agree with their performances, but they should be eligible because they're still working. They're still there. They've got to make a new category. I don't even think that. I don't think it needs to be another category because it's not best actor that you see on screen. It's best actor, and their performance is what's making those characters work. It should be justified, you know. It shouldn't have to be, oh, it's just your voice. Okay, we'll give you best voiceover work. And they should, I think they have every right to be able to win a best actor, you know, because they're not going to necessarily say, I'm sorry, we can't nominate Dawn of the Planet of the Apes for best picture because there's too much CGI. You know, nah, it probably won't.
What about a category? I know you said no new category, but a category called a technical character.
I think that diminishes their performance. Well, I think something should be done, but I think that's basically saying, okay, well, you're not really doing what the rest of them do. And that's kind of, to me, that's what everything is being said, is your performance is not as good as Tom Hanks and Captain Phillips, because Tom Hanks was on that boat and he was fighting those people, and you were in, you know, he was on set running around, even though he's in a green leotard. He's running around acting and working and physically performing. He's, you know, just because they CGI'd over the top of him, that doesn't change the fact that it's him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but they're not listening to me or this show, I'm sure, so it probably won't matter. Although they should be, asshole.
Yes, everyone should be listening to the show. The people in Ukraine listen to us, I'm told.
Well, it's because they don't know any better.
Oh my goodness! I love them. So, Clay, did you have any other really, like, some highlights, some stuff that just really made you happy?
Man, I'm trying to think. I mean, I think I hit the two, you know, like, big ones that that kind of stood out for me. I mean, I think all in all, I really enjoyed the story. I mean, I could sit there and it's not like anything, there wasn't hardly anything in that movie that came as a surprise to me.
Uh-huh.
I felt like this was a story I'd heard before,
uh-huh.
but it was the way that they told it that kept me involved the whole time. The character development and the pace of the movie, which, you know, it wasn't rapid, but it definitely didn't drag as far as I could, as far as I was concerned.
Right.
And the way, you know, just the way that they told it, I thought overall, I mean, one of the things that kind of struck me was at the end of the movie, the audience applauded.
Yes.
And I can't remember the last time that I'd been in a movie. It's been several years since I've, you know, heard the audience applaud at the end of a movie, and it deserved it.
Yeah.
I remember everybody applauding at the end of the last Twilight movie just because they knew that crap was finally over. Now, I actually, you know, I went blank. Never mind, move on.
Okay.
I had a thought about something. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought it was in relation to you saying, you know, you knew the story and kind of that, but it was the way it was told. I thought it was mm-hmm. so awesome from that standpoint that they took, you know, basically Conquest and of the Planet of the Apes, one of the obviously lesser of the films, mm-hmm. and somehow made it a good film.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and to have the final shot be the same final shot from that movie.
Oh, that was good.
And still somehow be better than Roddy McDowall in that moment. I'm like, come on, you can't. Oh, they did it. Crap. You know, now I gotta.
Well, I did enjoy the fact that with the Planet of the Apes, it's obvious how it's all going to end up with. The apes are going to win, but
bite your tongue.
But you didn't get that feeling the entire time you were watching the movie. You know, you're like, oh, how is this gonna pan out? How is this gonna end? And of course, you think about it, it's like, well, duh, the humans lose. But that it doesn't seem that way when you're in the moment. It seems like that everything has a chance.
That ending, before we give our ratings, I think that ending on is going to be the one thing that kind of it's one of the few things that I've heard people complain about.
Uh-huh.
That and given, I think it's the people that aren't seeing the bigger picture, because I know a lot of people I've had conversations with Rise of the Planet of the Apes, they're like, well, we love that movie, but it had an ending, even though it really didn't. You know, that whole that line of him saying I'm home or whatever the hell he says, they felt as a cap to the story, even though it kept going, showing the virus spreading. Where this one, it ends with war starting as opposed to a finale.
Right.
And kind of a cliffhanger. I've had a lot of people that felt let down by the very end. They loved it to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, where the hell did you think it was going? Have you seen any of these movies?
That ending had me stoked for the next one.
Yeah, I'm with you. As soon as it came on there and they said war's coming, it started zooming in on his face. I said, somebody's ass is getting kicked in the next movie. But I cannot wait to see. I can foresee it. They said the military's coming and we're going to have some apes and like fighter jets and helicopters and tanks. And they're going to bring in the exosuits from Edge of Tomorrow, and they're going to be running around. I'm telling you. Epic.
Well, I told Cole on the way home from the movie, I was thinking of the song, and I'm like, another post-apocalypse with the chimpanzees. I can't sing.
So we can post it along with this episode.
Well, before we were going to go to reviews, though, I was gonna whine a little bit. I was going to nitpick some.
We will not allow it.
Aww. Well, too bad. Let's see, what was my gripe? I had two, really. Cole talked me out of how monkeys can manage to use guns so well, as to the constant exposure to humans. But my other opportunity to go to the ladies' room during the movie is when they have the you know, memory lane section of the movie, and he has when Caesar's wounded, and he has him drive him over to the old house and hang out, and then he and Oldman do the two things that piss me off more than anything in the world is if a piece of electronic equipment has been dead for years, all you have to do is plug it in and it works.
Look, we've been through this. I already told you I had the answer for that. It had plenty of time to charge. You got to let it go. And Gary Oldman, I think, could afford the top of the line. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I was waiting. I was in that one scene with the iPad. I was like, has he had this thing plugged in for like months?
It's been 10 years.
Waiting for the power source.
To be fair.
In order to have this moment.
He had it turned off this whole time. Uh-huh. So once he saw the power come on...
Well, that's the first thing he did was ran and plugged it in.
What else is he doing? He's sitting there complaining, and that's all he ever does else with his time. He's like, electricity, I can play Angry Birds. So he quickly plugged it in, and then it reminded him, he's like, oh, crap, my kids. He wasn't plugging it in to see the kids. I'm telling you,
he was going to play
Angry Birds. If you look at the porn, he had an agenda with that. He had some new. There was some stuff happening on this pad. He is saving for these what 5-10 years since the last.
It had nothing to do with technology or family photos. He was hoping it's dope he could get to the next level of Candy Crush.
He wasn't crying because he saw the picture of the kid. He was crying because he realized, crap, this thing's not going to work much longer. And the first thing I got to look is these damn kids.
Oh.
I'm never going to get to finish my game or see my porn or anything. And the apes are coming, and he's reminded that this is some bullshit. Problem solved. Move on.
Well, I've had more pieces of electronic equipment where the battery has turned to absolute poo, and you know, and of course the next latest thing have come out, so it's obvious that you're gonna have to buy the next in line because you ain't gonna find a battery for that thing. So that's I don't know.
I told you he turned it off first. That's why it still worked. I'm telling you, he was very self-conscious about turning off his electronics and his property. And when all the power things, he just forgot about it. It was turned off this whole time. He just forgot. He just forgot he even had it. And he goes, holy Eureka, I have an iPad.
What about the video camera? I mean...
What about the video camera?
Oh.
It's a very nice video camera. Exactly. Now calm down. How else were they going to get James Franco on? They can only pay for James Franco small size to come back. They couldn't pay for all of Franco.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, you got to have something. It's expected. You know, those little nuggets are always expected.
Hey, I'm just glad that she didn't come up with some weird argument about the military in this time. Like, how did they contact the military? Or what? You should hear this. It's ridiculous. Her military arguments are just insane. Let me tell you something. And I'm sure the fact that Hugh Jackman wasn't in it topless was probably a downer for her.
That's every movie.
That's a running joke here. That's mentioned in every single review.
All right, here's my beef.
Okay.
Here's my beef.
It's not with Hugh Jackman as well, is it? Because that's going to make this really weird.
And part of this, I think, was just a choice by the directors, but also I think that part of this is just the CGI was very detailed and stuff, but I think we still have a little ways to go. And this was basically Caesar's son and the gigantic grizzly bear wound that he suffered at the beginning of the movie that never really looked like, I was like, every time I saw him, it took me out of it a little bit because I keep looking at it and going, that looks infected. They should really take care of that.
Yeah,
it's getting any better.
Yeah, because it was worse.
It
was right in between, like he had just got cut, and then had the scar for years and had been picking at it.
Well,
I mean, for one thing, they were gigantic. I'm like, that for one thing.
Why that isn't pussing and draining? I don't know.
It looked like it should have hurt a lot worse than the.
I think they have like a weird monkey healing factor now. I'm sorry, I apologize. Ape healing factor. And that's why that none of them ever seem to get, they either get blown up and die or they were okay.
Well, yeah, Caesar certainly got over that bullet wound pretty quickly.
Yeah, he went from being like near death to saying, I'm good, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, that is, when she announced that I have medicine. Well, gosh, who else could use some medicine, huh?
Yeah, but he
antibiotics, maybe some stitches. I don't know.
She clearly worked on him because she sat on the porch bloody.
I'm talking about his son.
I know, but he didn't deserve it. He was being an asshole at the time.
Oh, okay.
Remember, he was being a jerk.
It's like,
remember?
Okay, you're being a prick. You don't get medical attention.
I did like that they, speaking of dead apes and things, and being positive on this podcast, I actually loved, as sad as it was, that they had like numerous sequences where you see like dead apes when, after the big battles, and like, especially the asinine moment of Koba where he goes like he's going to help the one ape and he just takes his gun from him and leaves him there to suffer. But, you know, pick him up, and, you know, like Caesar, I think it's at the end of it where they're trying to help him out from under the rubble and all this stuff. You know, and they go to pick one up and he realizes he's dead, so he kind of has to just flop him back to the ground. It kind of gave this, instead of just, look, it's a bunch of apes fighting and shooting, it gave a realisticness to their pain and suffering of what they're going through as well.
Uh-huh.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I have to say that one of the other things, kind of go back a bit, one of the things I did kind of like was in the Caesar Koba fight, when Koba gets that wound on his side. And I noticed in the choreography of that fight that Caesar takes full advantage.
Oh, yeah.
Of that wound. Oh, yeah. And I'm like sitting there watching this going,
That was the first thing I saw about
Lopin. That looks like it hurt.
It was being obsessed with action and fighting and stuff. And as soon as that happened, I looked over my wife and I was like, you know, and you can see them kind of, they're going to keep going on. It's like, he needs to start beating his ass right in that rib cage where he got hurt. And she's like, she goes, shut up. And then, you know, then he starts like sucker punching him and throwing those hooks and stuff into it. I'm like, hells yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was working those ribs.
You see, I think I like that they kept the fight scene very ape-like.
Mm-hmm,
but in moments like that, you can see the higher intelligence of Caesar because he knows that, you know, he's already weak from his injury. Koba's kind of overpowering him, but he finds his weakness and starts exploiting it very intelligently. But they still didn't ever make it, like, you know, too humanistic with them fighting, which I was afraid of. Although it would have been awesome if they showed up like wearing karate uniforms or something.
I loved it when the building blew up underneath them, and it's like, yeah, we're going to hang in chains and swing around and fight still.
But what I didn't understand is they set all these bombs because they're going to blow up this building, kill every ape in the building, and the building never fell. It fell parts of it, but I'm like, we can clearly, now we know that, you know, architecture and construction and demolition was not his real job.
No, it wasn't.
It was, prior to all this happening. Clearly, he was like an IT guy.
Yes, yeah.
Or he worked at like Microsoft because he still could get his iPads to work. And
yeah.
There you go, Catherine. We just figured out the mystery. That's how, he was an IT guy. He knew how to make all this crap work.
Well, that didn't help it.
Problem solved. You can't argue the facts, man. You can't argue the facts.
Yes, I can. Watch and be amazed.
You can argue it, man, but you will. The facts are on the page. Do you need to get Maurice to write it with a thing on the wall for you?
Oh, Clay had a thought. I heard it coming in.
Okay, I have one other thought.
Okay.
It's just in.
This has to do with, in the whole evolution of these apes, is their social order starting to evolve? Because apes aren't necessarily monogamous, especially when you with the alpha. I noticed he only had one, wife.
I think he has a chip on his side. You saw how a couple of them were looking at him when he was walking by with his swag.
Well, he's the Hugh Jackman of apes.
Hell, I looked at him a few times. I'm like, damn. Oh,
thanks for trying to bring Hugh Jackman into it, though. I appreciate that.
They're both the same hairy.
Yeah, I was like, I was thinking about, those other, I don't know if those were apes in waiting or, the that were tending to his,
the one with the bone face mask things?
Yeah. But the stuff, I don't know, is that part of the harem? Were these,
it was his,
like,
his
surgical
wife.
Masks? Were they witches?
I figured it was his wife said, look, bitches, y'all put these masks on because he ain't going to look at y'all.
Hey, sister wife.
He's like, stay off my man. She knew she had a gold mine. She's like, I got the talking one. So
maybe.
Y'all back up. If he could talk and read, don't tell him what we're going to be doing. So y'all just back up.
That's
y'all,
great.
Y'all go back out. Y'all go over there and throw poo at each other. We got other plans.
And that's the other thing. I thought there was a distinct lack of poo throwing.
Oh.
Yeah, I agree. There wasn't. I expected to have one poo scene and at least one flea eating scene off the back of somebody's head.
Yes.
We got none of that.
A distinct lack of grooming too.
That's when I realized that this was not real.
Really?
I was fine with the machine guns and bear
that's
hunting.
It's a broken spell for you. So,
but yeah, and even the school but yeah, and the talking.
But when there's no grooming, I mean, these must have been some just lice-ridden apes.
They were really clean, so I mean, maybe
yeah,
there's
they
like
were.
A maybe there's like a up there in the theater department next to it. There's like a spa, and there's just like this big fat greasy ape that all they come in and they just eat shit off everybody. He'll be in the next film. It'll be like the pig pen ape.
Oh, that's great.
Why do you think that they have not? They have the orangutan named Maurice, obviously after the actor that played Dr. Zaius. Mm-hmm. Why don't we have an ape named Roddy yet?
We'll have to when we get maybe that's Cornelius's middle name.
No, that's not going to work. We're going to have a Cornelius. Don't bring that up. That's painful.
Okay.
too soon.
Sorry to tap that sore spot there.
They need a Will Ricardo Montalban out there and let him just roll past the sequence. What they do is they need to do like during one of the final battles in the next one, because we know it's going to be this epic war against the military and all this stuff. They need to just like have a Ricardo Montalban and put like the Hannibal. I don't remember which was it, Red Dragon sequence where the guy in the wheelchair on fire, have him just wheeling by. But have like a little sign that says deplane so we know who it's supposed to be as it goes by on fire.
I wish Hollywood would just give you $1 million to make a movie.
The movie would make no sense.
I know, but I would enjoy it so much.
It would just be a sequence of ridiculous sequences that make no sense, but everybody would know what they're talking about.
And I know you'd put Hugh Jackman in it just for me.
Oh, it would periodically flash, like, subliminal message. It would be playing along, and all of a sudden it would go, boop, and it was just Hugh Jackman topless, and then it would just keep going. And you, I guarantee you'd come out, and you'd be like, I don't know. What the, this whole movie was just Hugh Jackman topless, and I didn't see anything else that happened in this movie. But nobody else will see it. It'd be like, you'll be the only one that catches it. Everybody, Hugh Jackman wasn't in this movie.
Oh my god.
That's great.
This is ridiculous.
Okay, well, any last thoughts before we go around and do our whether or not we'd recommend it, although I have a pretty good idea of what we're going to say.
I'm spent.
Oh, Bobby, any more thoughts?
Have I not said enough today?
just trying to be polite.
I will say this. I did feel like there, and this isn't, it may sound funny, but it wasn't intended to be. I was a little disappointed from the standpoint that we didn't get more gorillas.
Yeah, and
like,
I
they were there
crazy.
A couple times. You know, they showed up a couple times, and they had that one awesome sequence when the guy's coming in to the village, and they start emerging out of the wall, and you know that they're clearly the first line of defense for their community.
Right.
But, you know, you see them randomly in the battles, but they never really got to shine like they did in the first movie, you know, when
right.
he got to run in. And But with that being said, I like that they brought in the characters from the last movie, you know, and the one, and I always forget his name, the one that was like his enemy in the last one, but in this, Rocket, I think it was, who was like his arch enemy in the first movie. But then in this one, he was like extremely loyal. He wasn't, you know, because a lot of times they like to veer out and say, okay, remember he had a little question against him now, and now he sees his chance to betray him. He was like the most hardcore loyal to him of all of them.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted more gorillas.
I wanted Maurice to get some sugar.
Maurice was badass. That dude, I like that. That one's a cool one.
Yeah.
Although they should get Paul Giamatti to come back and play him again. But beyond that, you know, I can let it go.
Well, I would definitely give it 5 out of 5 bananas, and I am definitely going to see it again. Because especially toward in the beginning, when they're showing all the interaction going on in the village, and all the just so much detail and activity. I think I missed half of it because there was just so much to see. So I've got to see it again at least once. What do you think, Clay?
I agree. I got to give that one. I got to give this one high marks just for the story, for the attention to detail, for the characterization, and also I kind of felt like even though this was kind of a sequel or part of a series, this one really did also feel like, to me, even with the ending, a standalone movie.
Yes.
I think this one could stand alone on its own. It had enough exposition and a good enough ending that it could just be its own movie.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think, Bobby?
Well, despite the clear FU to Cornelius, I still loved it. I think it's one of my favorite films that's come out this year, but also, I hate saying sounds sacrilegious because I love the original film, but I think it's my favorite Planet of the Apes movie that's been made to date. But I think because of the overall film itself, you know, the original still has something special because of what they did at the time, and it was new and different than that when you first see it. That's gone, but just what they were able to accomplish and the stories and everything together I thought were awesome. So, but I'm going to bypass the banana rating, and I'm going to go with, I'm going to throw 5 piles of crap right in its direction.
5 poos.
In any other movie, that would be an insult, but when there's apes involved, you know they're having a blast.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be the director's cut just for Bobby.
And it's the good kind of poo with corn in it, too.
Ooh. 15 added minutes of poo.
And peanuts.
Oh, yes. only the best for this film.
Well, that is awesome. Well, before we sign out, are there any plugs that we want to do? Clay, what are you up to? Is there a particular... cause celeb or something that you'd like the masses to know about that they need to get involved in, or what you up to?
Nothing in particular other than I just want to give a shout out that my wife and I are going to be grandparents for the first time on December, so we're really happy and excited about that.
Yay! That is happy news. It really is.
Make sure you learn to make sure the child learns to speak properly, because clearly we've seen that issue.
Yes.
Well, Bobby, what you up to?
Besides being forced into all the various coal projects,
poor Bobby.
Obviously, still, we've got this one together with lovely Mrs. Jedi Cole.
Hey.
That we do, but also I have the You Are Here Sunday Funnies with Jedi Cole Universe. And we have to remind everybody that You Are Here Volume 1 is available now, not only through our website, and will be available at the North Texas Dallas comic show this weekend, but also at Urban Legends in Mesquite in some store in Austin that I never remember the name of.
Tribe.
Close enough.
Yeah, sorry.
And then I'll still do all my reviews for the Dallas Examiner, so go check it out.
Yay! He's an awesome reviewer.
I don't know about awesome, but I've tricked somebody.
Well,
and if you want to learn to fight like an ape, you can come to my Taekwondo class, because that's how most of those people act.
It's ape Kwondo.
Well, if you see the way most of these people are in my class, they're just a few shies short of fighting like apes. Somebody's about to get choked in that class if they don't start listening.
And you know who you are.
Yes, I do. All of them.
Well, thank you, and thanks for joining us, everybody. And we'll see you next time on What'd You Think?
Bye.
Bye.